This is Rob Saylor, Director of the Lilly Endowment Clergy Renewal Programs at Christian Theological Seminary. In our podcast series, we'll be sitting down with folks who have been friends of the program, who have benefited from the programs, or who have wisdom to share for congregations and pastors who are seeking renewal opportunities. We are very much looking forward to hearing their insights and are very glad that you've joined us for this conversation series. Today, we'll be talking with Reverend Janet Wanner, who is a retired Methodist pastor who is a longtime friend and advocate of the programs. She's going to be sharing insights about how congregations and pastors can think creatively and imaginatively about how to construct a renewal leave and how to make the most out of the opportunity. Janet, welcome.
Thank you, Rob. It's an honor to be here.
I'd love it if you would tell us a little bit about what you did on your clergy renewal leave, how you came up with those activities, and then I'd also love to hear what the effect was, both on you, your ministry, anything you'd like to tell us.
I think one of the great benefits for me was to pray and to search my heart, to be able to answer the question, what makes my heart sing? And one of the phrases, what is soul burning, that one of the phrases you say, and what feeds my soul. So I gathered a team of people who loved me, who had confidence in me and I in them. And we formed a writing team, a planning team, people from the church. And they also asked me those questions, probing questions, some tough questions, so that we could plan together what it is that would be renewing to me and for them as a church. From that process, as we began, I did a lot of research too into the places, the spaces, the time, and with whom I'd like to share experiences that I thought would be renewing to me.
And what were some of those activities that you came up with in the context of this process of discussion?
Through my life, one of the great images and symbols that were life-giving to me has been water. So some of my plans involved places that are on the water, opportunities that I might have to be still, to be alone with God. One of the most profound experiences for me was a new one in which I stretched myself to do something a little uncomfortable. As a Protestant, I went to a Benedictine monastery, and I had a week of silence. It was meaningful, it was profound, and I was able to meet for the first time with the spiritual director. I was so touched by that experience that I later studied and became a spiritual director, and now that's one of the ways I serve in ministry now.
Wow. One of the things I love about what you're saying is that you're describing a really compelling mix between finding things that you knew already would feed your soul, things that you already resonated with. But it sounds like both in the conversations leading up to the leave and then with several of the activities you chose, as you say, you stretched yourself. You took on some things that were maybe outside the norm a little bit. Did that mix work in terms of things that were familiar and things that were new?
Yes, it worked very well. I was able to experience different ways of being with God. One of the things my husband and I were able to do was to go to Jerusalem, to St. George's, and take a two-week class on Jesus, the Gospels, and the land. It provided lots of opportunity to study with people from around the world, people from different faiths. And that was enriching to me, very much so, and to my husband. I worshiped in an Anglican church. Overall, I just expose myself to new things that I was able to add and enrich in my own spiritual journey, in my own spiritual practices and disciplines.
Now, you described a situation where a number of folks from the congregation worked with you and helped write and plan this. Was this a stretch for them? Was the notion of a pastor stepping away for a little while, was that something that had been familiar to them? Or was that new for the congregation as well?
It was rather new for them. I think they had had a pastor who had had a sabbatical before, but it wasn't, it had been a number of years. Gathering with this group of people, I found was a way to engage the congregation and to build some anticipation about what it is that God might do, not just in my life and my ministry, but with them. What might God do in and through them during this time? And it was so important to engage this team with me because they got so excited about the plans, not just for me, but for them.
What were some of the things that the congregation did during this time? I know they had to keep the doors open and keep services going, but were there other activities or other things that they took on while you were away?
One of the most significant things that they were able to do was to have a speaker, a guest speaker, a Dr. James Brian Smith, who preached, but also did a two evenings, 2 days of a workshop with them on spiritual formation. He had just written a book about spiritual formation and a handbook. And so we offered then for the congregation to be a part of that and to have a handbook so that they could take that with them and then study. And then we had small groups then that they could join if they chose to study the book together.
I love hearing that because that seems like the perfect kind of thing for a congregation to bring in a speaker or a consultant to work with them around. As you know, sometimes congregations get into trouble if they bring in even excellent consultants or guest speakers who are going to start conversations that are better had while the pastor is present, you know, things like finances or church mission or staffing or that sort of thing. But bringing in someone who can really help them focus in on things like spirituality, encounter with God, theology, vocation, that kind of thing. A renewal period is really an opportune time for a congregation to be in a space to tackle those things in a different way, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So when you came back, the congregation had been on that journey, you'd been on that journey. Did you notice any, well, one lasting effect is that you became intrigued by the notion of spiritual direction. Were there other things that persisted or that you noticed had changed in the years following your leave?
I had a profound experience at Iona, you know, what many of us call a thin place. And I truly experienced that. The places that I went that I was able to embrace the holy were the most meaningful to me. And I was able then to share those things with the congregation, things that stretched them in their way of thinking. And I found that my preaching and my teaching was more inspired. I was more excited myself, and I was absolutely thrilled to share things with them that I had learned. And they could sense that in me. They knew that I was different. That not only meant a lot to them to know that, but they were able to receive some of that, and I hope inspired by it. I taught a number of classes on different ways of praying and experiencing God, and that were new to us. That was when I was serving in the Church of God. Things about symbols and liturgy and the Franciscan way of praying or the Augustinian way of praying, those were things that began to make a real difference in people as they shared it with me.
One of the things that I really love about what you're saying is that all throughout, it seems like one of the main themes was just bringing yourself to a place of encounter, a place of encounter with God, and a place where you could really encounter some surprise, right? Not everything was all planned out as to what the effect was going to be. And that may sound obvious, but I think it's an important point. You know, obviously it takes some planning when pastors and congregations are putting these leaves together. And you very intentionally traveled to places. But on the other hand, it really was an element of unplanned encounter, encounter that can't be mapped out in advance. And from what I'm hearing, it sounds like that was one of the most significant features, not only at the time, but of things that lasted beyond the leave.
Yes, very much so. One of the things I was able to do was to renew relationships that were the most important to me, to spend time with my sons. One had been in the Coast Guard and was home, and one was in high school. And it was our last family vacation together. My oldest son got married. We were able to explore our heritage together in France and England. And this was spiritual heritage as well as our own family. My maiden name is Lily, and the Lilies are from France. So we were able to explore that. And then my husband's family is is more of the English heritage. It was a meaningful time for my sons and for my husband and me.
So as we think about congregations that are in various stages of discerning whether or not this is something that they and the pastor can undertake, or if they know they want to do it and they're trying to think, okay, how do we put together something that's going to be meaningful along the lines that you've discussed? What sort of advice would you give to congregations and to pastors, or what sort of questions would you want to put on their radar?
I think that churches need to ask those questions of themselves. At least a small group of them. What is it that new renewal would look like? What is it that it would refresh their souls? What is it that they need? What are their desires as a congregation? How can they enjoy God? And I think if we ask them those questions, we might be surprised. I think my team was able to be creative in their thinking, and they were able to offer insights and creativity that I could not. I didn't want to plan this for them. They needed to have a voice in that and work together with me to fashion a plan for both of us. And I think a strong proposal really begins to weave those together, if possible, with some kind of theme. That so the congregation and the pastor can go on a journey together, just in different places.
You know, this question, what will make your heart sing, or the other variations that we use, you know, what will make your soul burn? You know, when I first took on this role, I wasn't sure if that was overly poetic or sentimental, but I've really come to love those questions. I think for the reasons that you're indicating, they're vulnerable questions, and they create the kinds of conversations that maybe even pastors and congregations that get along really well together and do great ministry together don't always go that deep that often.
I think it was a process that helped reveal things to them as well as to me, not just about my life, but about ministry there and what they voiced as needs and their hopes of what it might mean to be renewed and actually experience renewal.
One of the moments that I really treasure in talking with people that have received this grant, and your comments, Janet, are reminding me of this conversation. I was sitting next to a pastor who said, you know, I went on this leave and I thought I was going to come back full of ideas and strategic plans and resources. And he said, instead, I came back empty. I had needed that time to just let go of some things and be emptied of my preoccupations, so that when I came back, God and ministry were ready to fill me anew and in a different way. And I've always loved that image.
Yes. I came home inspired and energized, but I came home also truly ready to engage again in every way. You know, the demands of ministry involve our emotions and our bodies and our minds and our hearts. And to be able to take a break from those demands and expectations of the congregation and of ourselves truly refreshes us and gives us a time to rest, to release, and then to be and to do new things that challenge us. It's not that I came back with tons of ideas. It's that most of all, I came back rested and energized and inspired.
I'm so grateful to you, Janet, for your testimony, not only because of the practical wisdom around how congregations and pastors can work together, but you've really pointed us towards what this is ultimately for. And that is for pastors and congregations to have their ministry be re-energized and re-inspired by encounter with God. And so I'm very grateful to you for your testimony and your thoughts today.
You're welcome. I hope it is helpful to someone.
thank you for joining us for this conversation about clergy renewal. Support for our podcast series comes from Lilly Endowment Incorporated. Our producers are Jessica Mesman and Cassidy Hall, and our theme music is composed by Father Joel David Weir. If you'd like to find out more about clergy renewal, please check out our website at www.lilyclergyrenewal.org, and we look forward to hearing from you.